This podcast is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Whether you're a budding small business owner or a large company looking for a new space, a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, can help you find the right place to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Bitcoin's been in the news a lot lately after recently racing up to $11,000 for the first time on Wednesday, and investors continue to get hooked despite Bitcoin's wild swings. Now, a federal regulator has given approval to two exchanges in Chicago to launch Bitcoin futures. Joining me now in New York to talk about what this means for the future of the cryptocurrency is Wall Street Journal reporter Alex Osipovich. Alex, Friday's approval from the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission clears the way for these exchanges to launch Bitcoin futures later this month. In your piece for the Wall Street Journal, you write that this could be a huge step for Bitcoin. How so?
Well, there are a couple of things. First of all, the Bitcoin market has historically been pretty marginal. It started out with these kind of anarchist, libertarian, software geek types. And gradually it's become more mainstream. But there's a big impediment to the ability of big Wall Street banks and hedge funds and asset managers, companies like T. Rowe Price, to trade Bitcoin. And that is, it's not traded on a regulated marketplace. If they trade Bitcoin futures, that's by definition on a regulated marketplace, regulated by the CFTC, which just made this announcement. So that's one thing. They will also be able to short Bitcoin. And what that means is basically to place bets that Bitcoin is going to fall in price. And this is pretty significant because you kind of can't do it right now. You can buy Bitcoin, hold on to it, and watch its value increase or fall, but it's not very easy to short Bitcoin. If you short Bitcoin, then basically that allows you to hedge against a fall in the price of Bitcoin, and that will make big trading firms a lot more comfortable in the ability to trade Bitcoin.
Does this approval signal that the government is starting to warm up to more widespread use of Bitcoin?
I think so. I think that there is a bit of a interesting dynamic between the different financial regulators here. The CFTC has historically been kind of a small and scrappy financial regulator. It has a smaller staff than any of the other financial regulators out there. And the SEC, which is probably better known to most people out there because it regulates the stock market, has been more skeptical of Bitcoin. Earlier this year, it denied a Bitcoin ETF application. After that, Bitcoin fanatics all kind of turn their longing eyes to the CFTC, hoping for some regulatory love. The CFTC has said for the past couple of years that it views Bitcoin as a commodity, meaning that legally, in the eyes of the CFTC, it's similar to crude oil or soybeans or gold. And this is basically kind of a logical step in the evolution of the CFTC's thinking about Bitcoin. But yeah, broadly, I would say that, you know, the government as a whole is maybe warming up a little bit to Bitcoin, and different factions of it and different officials within it are friendlier than the others. And I think that it's safe to say that at the CFTC, they're relatively pro-Bitcoin.
I'm curious about the conditions Bitcoin had to meet to gain approval from the commission. I understand from your piece that significant changes were made at the regulator's request.
Yeah, there was some tinkering done. The main thing is that essentially, Bitcoin trades in these kind of underlying exchanges, which are all kind of, you know, startup type companies that are only a few years old. And they're places where people who hold Bitcoins can get together and buy and sell them, and they help figure out what the price is. The futures market kind of sits on top of that. And for CME, for example, to launch its Bitcoin futures, it needed to partner with some underlying exchanges so they could basically figure out what is the price of Bitcoin. And then its futures contract will track that price. The problem is that these underlying Bitcoin exchanges, there's a history of a lot of dubious activity happening on them. They tend to be very volatile. They go down sometimes. They have flash crashes. And there is a lot of concern out there about market manipulation. And so when CME announced that it was going to launch Bitcoin futures, one of the big questions out there was, well, is the CFTC going to be comfortable with the risk that this contract could be manipulated? And what they announced was that CME, along with SIBO, the other futures exchange that wants to launch Bitcoin futures, that these exchanges had agreed to enter into information sharing agreements with the underlying Bitcoin exchanges. What that basically means is that they committed to the regulator that they're going to very closely monitor what happens in the underlying Bitcoin market and they will keep an eye out for any sort of red flags that any sort of manipulative activity could be happening.
Alex, Bitcoin has obviously been pretty volatile, especially last week. How much did that factor into regulatory concerns?
You know, it's hard to read, but my feeling of it is that the regulatory process was sort of plodding along at its own pace even before Bitcoin cracked through the 10,000 mark, rocketed up to 11,300 and change, and then dropped back down and then bounced up again as it does from day to day. This process had been going on, in the case of CME Group, the bigger exchange here, it had been going on for the past 6 weeks. In the case of SIBO, the smaller exchange that once launched Bitcoin futures, it had been going on for 4 months prior to Friday's announcement.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Alex Osipovich about Bitcoin futures, and you're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
You've heard it a million times. Location, location, location. Well, that's because location's important, and it's the reason this ad, targeted at you, isn't located before a podcast about the history of ice dancing. If you own a business, you know the importance of location, which is why you need a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, a real estate expert who can help you find the perfect location to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
Welcome back, everybody. Alex, we know by now that Bitcoin can get pretty volatile, as we've just been speaking about. Is approving the launch of Bitcoin futures a move that could potentially help stabilize it?
Yeah, so that's one of the interesting things people say about Bitcoin futures. Basically, futures allow you to short a contract, right? So that means you can bet that it will fall. And that means that all the people out there who are sort of Bitcoin bears and think that, you know, it's overpriced will now have a way to express their view in the marketplace. And you'll be able to trade Bitcoin futures and sort of send a signal to the market that, you know, maybe I think it's overvalued. And there are a lot of kind of seasoned Bitcoin traders out there who expect that this could limit the notorious volatility of Bitcoin to some degree.
And I want to go back to something you touched upon before. There has been this big debate about whether Bitcoin is a currency or a commodity. But Bitcoin futures share some things in common now with other commodities like oil and gold, because they would allow traders to bet on whether the price will rise or fall.
Yeah, I mean, this is a philosophical issue. I mean, is Bitcoin a store of value? Is it sort of like gold where you buy it and hoard it and, you know, it's kind of a hedge against inflation? Or is it a medium of exchange in which you, you know, it's basically a means of payment to other people? I would say at the current point of time, the whole idea that Bitcoin is a store of value is winning. Trading activity in Bitcoin, there's just not that many places that accept Bitcoin as payment today. But there are a lot of people out there who own Bitcoin because they think it's going to keep on rising in price. I don't know how much the CFTC's announcement on Friday kind of weighs into that debate, but as one regulator, you know, laying a stake in the ground and saying, hey, we think this is a commodity and this is how we think it should be looked at.
And how do you think this will impact interest from investors in the short term? We've seen people continue to dive in despite all the ups and downs and fears of a Bitcoin bubble.
I think that at this point in time, any headline that makes it seem that Bitcoin is gaining credibility with Wall Street is going to be bullish for Bitcoin. And I'm not in the business of making price predictions, but that's just been my observation over the past few months with various announcements saying, for example, that Goldman Sachs was looking into getting into Bitcoin. I would say that, you know, in point of fact, it is going to take a certain kind of trader to trade Bitcoin futures. Trading futures just isn't as easy as going into your Schwab account and, you know, buying stocks or ETFs. It's a bit of a specialist thing. You can do it through the same sorts of e-brokers that are out there, but you have to be a bit more sophisticated to do it.
Okay. I've been speaking with The Wall Street Journal's Alex Osipovich. Alex, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York.
Is Alexa part of your life? Then make Your Money Matters part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.